This is URN.
This
is URN.
Hello, people, and welcome back to Femnotium. I know we haven't been around for a while, but we're back in full swing. And this week, we are discussing the concept of masculinity. And I've got Rebecca Hyde on from URN, Head of Speech. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, thank you for having me on today, Ingrid.
And so that was... Who was that? That was Muramasa. I don't know if that's actually how you say...
Yeah, Muramasa, and it's Ellie Rousel from Wolf Alice is the singer in that song.
I really like Wolf Alice, to be fair. And another artist, actually, we were going to have on today... not have on today. Not that big.
Yeah.
But another artist that I was going to play today is someone called LP. She's quite... She got big recently with her song... My mum literally introduced me to her. Her song is called Lost On You. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'd describe her music, sort of like indie folk, I'd say. And she basically has this quite masculine image, but she has basically... Well, not an effeminate voice. I don't think that's really a thing, but like... A very vocally ranged. No, that's not. Varied voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of made me think today about talking about the concept of masculinity. And it's interesting as well because one of my because I study art history, one of my modules is about women in like sort of Renaissance and about like the way that they were expected to dress. To kick off the discussion, I'm going to say, do you think we still have these expectations on women and the way they should be dressing today in society? Do you think it's still as prevalent or do you think we've moved past it a bit more?
I think 100% it's still prevalent. The worst place for it is definitely like traditional workspaces. I think fortunately at like university, I think most of us, quite a lot of people, do feel like they can just kind of wear what they want. Like
when you say traditional workspaces, what do you mean?
So like, yeah, sorry, I should have been more specific. Office wear, there's a very much a gendered dress code within that. For men, it's like you have to overheat in a suit in the summer, but in the winter, you know, you're going to be warm enough.
Yeah.
But for women, it's like you've got to wear a skirt to a certain length. You've got to wear tops that aren't a certain way.
And you have to, I mean, they had this whole row recently about heels as well, didn't they?
Yeah. The worst case of it was literally last week in Parliament during Prime Minister's Question Time, a Labour MP was wearing a blouse that showed part of her shoulder, and it kicked off this huge row online, which proved to me that there's still gendered standards of what people should be wearing, because people were saying, you know, like it's unacceptable. People called her like all sorts of things. People called her a hooker. People called her, you know, all these ridiculous things. And they're saying, you know, women should dress properly. They should dress a certain way.
But it's weird because it does come from both angles as well, not from the same source. Like men aren't expected to wear a suit out of misogyny. I don't think that's true. But I think it does come from this like idea of, not to sound like a sociology student, like society.
It's formal wear.
Dictating what people should wear as opposed to people dictating what people should wear.
Like when Corbyn first got his position and everyone was calling him scruffy because he was wearing a knitted jumper.
Why do you care what he looks like?
Yeah.
Like, regardless of whether you agree with him, that should be the last thing you care about. And I mean, if you're going to go on that standard, Boris Johnson is definitely not someone that you should like.
Do you think, though, that we should have some form of like standard set for smartness? Because I don't think there should be, but there is a lot of people that, you know, for example, support school uniforms and think that there should be a set standard.
I think the idea of school uniforms is interesting. I don't think there's anything bad in school uniforms. I don't think we should sort of go, they're risky, they're not damaging anyone. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I had to wear a school uniform. My school uniform, to be fair, was quite scruffy because it was just a polo shirt because I went to a really bad comprehensive. So it wasn't the kind of sort of shirt tie blazer situation that a lot of really fancy schools have, but I think it's not a bad idea in terms of it establishes that kids are all the, like, not all the same, but like that kids are all in the same institution. But I don't think that as much emphasis should be put on it as is. Like, we used to get told in school with our skirts, I used to just wear trousers in school, because you get told if your skirt was too short. Secondly, and this is a thing that a lot of people, as girls, have said to me, that they used to get told that you'll distract the boys or the male teachers if you wear a short skirt.
Yeah,
like, that's actually such an unacceptable thing. Like, if I wore a skirt to a lecture and I got told that I might get, like, basically perved on wearing that skirt, and as a result, it's my fault.
To use a professional term.
I feel so incredibly uncomfortable. Like, I think, in a way, I'm lucky that I was only, like, 14 when that was said to me, because I didn't really understand what it meant.
Yeah,
I think now, if someone said it to me, I'd be incredibly uncomfortable.
The problem is that you don't understand what it meant, though, because that gendered, gendered standard of what people should wear starts in primary school. It starts in uniform.
It starts when you're a baby. girls dressed in pink, boys dressed in blue.
Yeah.
That whole thing, like...
And I think there's still a big issue. And as much as people can say, like, oh, anyone can express themselves now. It's like, anyone can express themselves, but whether or not they will, whether or not they feel like they're able to...
Well, you can't even, like, in school, if you had a certain extreme haircut or if you had... I mean, my school was probably more relaxed than... I say private schools are probably stricter, I don't know, but my school is probably more relaxed than most. But even in my school, like, girls who... Well, it's mainly girls. I suppose boys don't tend to dye their hair as much, but girls who dyed their hair, in quotation marks, unnatural colour, or had piercings, like lip piercings or nose piercings in an obvious place, or wore blue eyeliner. I once got told off for wearing blue eyeliner. And I just sort of think, why are you focusing on that? You're a bad school. Like, get your act together. Like, you're focusing on what I'm wearing and not on... the fact that 50% of the kids at this school aren't getting C grades at GCSE. Like, you need to, like, especially in, I mean, it's, I don't necessarily think uniforms are, like, really bad, but I also don't think they're that important.
Yeah, I think my problem with uniform is that there's, like, that set standard of what people should wear. And then when, if you're a girl in school that wants to wear trousers, or if you're a guy that wants to wear a skirt, you do get viewed differently. Like,
regardless of whether you get, say, bullied or outwardly discriminated against, you would get viewed differently as well.
Yeah, and for me, that just makes me really uncomfortable, the thought of you not being able to wear
whatever you want,
what you want. And the fact that, yeah, there's people that don't feel like they can wear a skirt if they want to. Also kind of the practicality of the of it as well. If you want to, I remember, like, the thing that got me wearing trousers instead was because at break or something, if I wanted to run about a bit, if I was in a skirt,
it's a pain.
Yeah, it was a pain.
Like, I just didn't like wearing a skirt because I felt like, well, this comes from a whole other host of things, but I'm not exactly skinny, and then I always felt like I was on show more in skirt, and I didn't
Like,
I didn't like my legs, like, so I just wore. I mean, I'm not, I was never vain growing up. I never really was bothered by. I was lucky in a way because I never have really been bothered, as you can see by my appearance right now, by the way I look. So I don't really. I've not. Like, it's rare for me to be particularly self-conscious, and I'm lucky that I've not grown up with that. But I think. Even, like, I think it's always in the back of your mind a bit, like, what people think.
Yeah, you have...
It's always... School is so... I think school, it starts from school. People, you don't think about what you want to wear. You think about what other people will think of what you wear.
Yeah.
And that just extends massively into the workplace. And this whole thing about heels, I just think it's actually ridiculous. Why are you expecting women... And to be fair, men have to wear uncomfortable shoes as well. Why are you expecting people to work... In a work environment where they're probably stressed and under a lot of pressure, the thing you're focusing on is what they're wearing.
Yeah.
Especially, like... heels, which are literally just, I mean, if you look back at, like, the history of the shoe, like, because we've gone into it a bit in sort of feminist modules, the wind.
Apologise for the background noise.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Rebecca's got some problem now, Jackie. But no, I think, I completely lost where I was going. No, but if you look at the history of the shoe, it's literally invented as a sort of a method of constraining women and preventing them from having the same opportunities as men and preventing them from... I'm saying this completely wrong, but it was invented as a method of categorising women as women, and they were only allowed to wear uncomfortable shoes, which were considered dainty and, you know, they're smaller than men's. All of these things that it comes into under a massive issue. But I just think, do we even need uniforms? I mean, are uniforms actually... Are they actually relevant? Do they actually help? Because we used to get told all these things in school, like studies show that children that wear smart, like smart kids that wear smart uniforms, are more likely to perform well. Schools that have a stricter uniform code have less problems. But I'm not going to lie, like, a school that has a strict uniform code probably also just has stricter rules.
Also, if you're able to wear a smarter uniform, it usually means you're economically better off.
Exactly.
Which also
probably
parallels
means your parents went to university,
and your parents are able to afford a tutor for you, perhaps.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a whole other argument.
Or at least
argument.
Tutor you themselves. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. All that stuff. Like.
But kind of to go back to our idea of, like, do we feel like we can wear what we want, and there's, like, a standard that... I think, like, the only time people kind of still really feel that is, like, what I found really strange growing up was the idea of wearing a dress. Like, it really freaked me out growing up. It sounds so ridiculous thinking of it now. But I was like, I don't want to wear a dress. And so then when I was about I think it was like, it was literally for my year 13 prom, and I was thinking, like, I do actually want to wear a dress for this, but I'm worried it's going to feel like a big deal just because I've put this on myself so far. And then it's like, wait, have I put this, like, standard on myself and, you know, made myself feel like I can't wear what I want? And then, like, the more I thought about it, I was like, the more ridiculous it is, because it's like I'm stopping myself from doing what I want because I used to not want to wear a dress, but now I do. And it was like, I felt like I was being almost like untrue to myself, whereas the most true to myself thing to do would be to wear what I want.
And it's, I had this, that we have to think about all that, like, it's such an excessive, like it's just stupid.
And then, like, everyone, when you're wearing a dress, everyone who hasn't seen you in a dress before, because you've always been the kind of less girly girl. I hate the term, but it's what people say.
In school, I was quite, like, I wasn't.
Well, people
at all,
people called you a tomboy.
Yeah.
Like, and it's that word.
Everyone thought I was gay because I had short hair. And I was like, I just have short hair.
But like, also, like, oh, it's so much. I hate the word tomboy. I think we could have, like, a whole.
It's a pointless word.
Other debate around that. But, like, you know, people going, like, oh, you're wearing a dress. Oh, Rebecca's in a dress. Rebecca's like, shut up.
Yeah. Does it even matter?
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if I've seen half of those people in suits before, but I don't make a big deal out of it.
What does it matter? Like, what? Like,
yeah. Oh, it's frustrating, but.
And it is interesting how I think in school, especially, and I know this is just partly being young, but it's always the people you don't know as well who comment.
Yeah.
Wait, like, the people that you know well actually don't care. Mm-hmm. And it, I don't know, yeah, it is mad. But and also another thing we were talking about before we started the show, was the concept of, like, where does masculinity in women, is masculinity in women firstly even a thing? Like, as in, is masculinity even a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, do we even need to categorise that? Can't people just be people?
Yeah.
And secondly, are there actually, is there a scale, or do you think it's all just people being people? And where do you think it lies within the concept of feminism?
Shall we play a song and come back
we'll
with
come back
that
to
question of where does masculinity
so
belong?
This is LP, one of my fave artists at the moment, Wasted Love, and this is actually a live version from YouTube.
Okay.
I didn't want to know. I was happy on my own. Wish I never. Say
This is URN.
Hello, welcome back to FM Nottingham. Today, if you haven't already tuned in, we are... Sorry, I just wiped my nose. I got a really nasty cold. For all of you out there that know. Mm-hmm. We are talking about masculinity. That was LP, one of my top artists, who my friend... Well, my mum, and then also my friend Ben actually introduced me to. So, do you want to kick off the discussion where we left off, Rebecca? We were talking about kind of the concept of where does masculinity lie within feminism and society? Is it a societal issue? Please take the floor.
Yeah, I think when looking at feminism, by saying that you are a feminist, you need to consider the entire concept of gender within that. I think, but when we talk about masculinity, we need to realise that there is a strong case for women equally contributing to toxic masculinity as men do. And that's not because both women and men, you know, have it out for men.
Usually at fault.
Yeah. It's because there is a social standard and expectation for men to be powerful leaders in charge. You mentioned...
It's similar, really. If you think about it, men contribute to misogyny. Mm-hmm. Women contribute to masculinity.
Yeah.
Men can... Toxic masculinity. Men can also be... Men can increase toxic masculinity to put towards themselves, as mm-hmm. women can definitely put misogyny on themselves.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
See, you mentioned there earlier when we were talking about clothing, about it goes back from when you're babies. Mm. And if you go into a shop, say if you go into, like, George in Asda... You know, the like clothes section. In the kids section, there's boys, like young boys' t-shirts, like toddlers' t-shirts that say like leader, hero,
yeah.
Pictures of like Indiana Jones and stuff on there.
Girls are like princess.
Yeah. Mm. And it's that idea that's ingrained in us from when we're young of men as saviours and women as.
And also extremes as well.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at, like, the women's, it's, like, princess, very incredibly vulnerable person. Not like, yeah. Like, princess in the tower, who is 4 foot tall and has no power at all and also can't speak. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, when you look at, like, any fairy tale, mm-hmm. they all start off with, like, an incredibly vulnerable woman.
Yeah.
And whereas, and, like, men's, and the men, likewise, in those, are, mm-hmm. like, excessively masculine men. Like, I ride a horse, I have a sword, I kill people. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, instead of just having... a medium, it starts from the extreme.
When we say fairy tales as well, we're looking at the Victorian standard of fairy tales that gendered the original Grimm fairy tales, which were nothing like the ones that ended up being produced and are widely known. You know, for example, like Hansel and Gretel, the evil woman that kills the children, is a completely different tale originally of two children that work on their relationship together, yeah, and yeah. grow up. Like, that's what it's about. And things go wrong, obviously, but it's completely different. So we see how these things get put on us from when we're younger, the stories we hear, the things we read. But one of the things I have, if we're looking at masculinity as well, the biggest problem of saying men have to be leaders and stuff like that, as well as pushing women out of doing those roles, it's forcing men into doing something they don't want to do. Not everyone wants to be a leader. Yes, some people do.
But some women do as well.
Yeah, but some men feel pressured into being in charge in situations that they shouldn't have to. Like, you know, the whole gendered issues around heteronormative dating is that the man should make the first move. The man should buy dinner. And it's ridiculous. And I'm not surprised people find it frustrating. And it must be really, really difficult to have to hear all of that if you don't want to be in charge. Some people have naturally domineering personalities and they enjoy that, but some people aren't like that and shouldn't have to do that. Majority of people don't want to have to be in charge of everything. They don't want to have to be the leader. The concept of the leader thing, anyway, only encourages competitivism.
Yeah,
and
which is not good in any...
Do
well,
you,
it's good to a certain degree, but not in uh-huh. that sense.
So you've got a younger brother, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I found with my two older brothers, a thing I heard all the time growing up my mum would say, would be like, oh, they're so competitive because they're boys. Mm. And I was
being... Because they're boys.
I was sitting there like, I'm competitive with them still. I mean, I'm 10 years younger than my older brother, but we'd still fight each other when I was little.
Oh, no,
like,
no, my brother's younger than me, and we used to actually beat each other.
Yeah. And it's like, but, and I remember hearing it, like, thrown around. It's like, oh, the boys, they'll argue, they'll be competitive. It's like, they don't have to be.
Yeah.
They can like each other.
Because it's in their blood.
Yeah. It's like, they can like each other. They don't have to fight.
Yeah.
And then saying that they're fighting because of masculinity, or like, oh, it's, you know, it's a boy thing to fight.
It doesn't actually make any sense.
Really. Like, no, like, girls fight as well. But then that's put us being catty.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It's like, no, they're just aggressive.
Girls cry, oh, no, they're the victim. Like, something really horrible's happened. If a guy cries, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's right? So ridiculous that that's put on men. And I think we can say a lot more about men's mental health and about toxic masculinity kind of, or masculinity in general, getting in the way of men from being able to express themselves, you know, people being told that women are the only ones that can speak up, basically, and, you know, men, you've got to crack on. It's like, it's ridiculous hearing that. And then that, combined with the pressure of having to be in charge of every situation because you're a man, it's no wonder there's so many mental health issues for men.
Suicide rates in men, like, doubled in the last...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But when we're looking at masculinity, the question I kind of wanted us to consider was, can you have masculinity without it being toxic masculinity? Is there a type of non-toxic masculinity?
Yeah, I think so. I think we should do away with the word masculine altogether. I don't actually think... I think masculine and feminine are just dead concepts, in my opinion. I don't actually think they make... They don't actually contribute anything. It's like... It's like the concept of I was saying this earlier. It's like the concept of gender. It's a highly personal thing. If you want to be defined as a masculine woman or an effeminate man, that is fine. But I don't think there should be this societal wide, general sort of method of basically polarizing people. I don't think you should have that. I don't think we should have this societal wide. Way of like assigning characteristics to people, like just because a woman walks with, say, a wide gait or manspreads, which, by the way, again, stupid word, manspreads, doesn't mean she's not emotionally vulnerable or more emotional than, say, a woman who wears heels all the time, chooses to wear heels all the time, and walks in a really like ladylike, in inverted commas, way. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should just. It's like this whole, just because someone looks a certain way doesn't mean they act it, and also like. The whole concept of masculinity is just a silly thing. It's not in a way like that, but do you know what I mean? I think masculinity can be an incredibly positive thing, but I also think that just means being a man. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think we would be better to do away with the idea of it altogether? If you do consider gender not to be a binary, which most feminists do, well, most people that call themselves feminists do, all feminists do. If you consider gender not to be binary, then surely masculinity is it's more of like a social issue. It's more of like a characteristic rather than a gendered issue.
I would probably agree with that, to be fair.
So if we do away with what our thoughts of gender are, of what the typical thoughts of gender are, as in male, female, masculine, feminine, we shouldn't have toxic masculinity. But the problem is we still do.
Yeah.
A lot of people now don't believe in a binary gender. A lot of people are fully understanding of the fluidity of gender.
They can still partake in... It's because I think it comes from... I have definitely contributed to toxic masculinity in my life. I'm sure pretty much everyone has, because it's an issue that is so ingrained.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the concept of, like misogyny is so ingrained in our society, because our society is essentially based around misogyny.
And, yeah, it's so easy.
Like, it's so easy to say, let's do away with it. Actually, when it comes to practice, it's very, very hard. Like, I for example, like, if I saw a woman crying in the street, I'd probably go up to her and be like, are you okay? If I saw a guy crying in the street, I wouldn't say I'd feel uncomfortable with it, but I would definitely know what to do a lot less.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm less used to that. Mm-hmm. I'm more used to seeing, for example, in a club, a girl crying.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. All my friends cry in clubs. I've cried in clubs. But guys crying in clubs, you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, as in, I would probably go up to the guy and ask them, but I would definitely feel less, like, not just...
It would feel more alien to you.
Yeah, it would feel more alien to me. And especially, I know I'm a woman, so obviously I know what women would probably be more attuned to. But at the same time, like, men and women, like you say, if we're treating gender as a non-binary thing, then that doesn't actually make any sense.
Yeah.
And, like... If a guy is crying, a man is crying. It's just, you know, it could be over something really small, it could be over something. And I think we need to do away with these silly, like, silly concepts. And then the thing is, like, toxic masculinity triggers, like, much bigger and worse views.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, genuinely misogynistic, sexist things. Like,
yeah.
A lot of, like, I had a conversation with a guy, I went to the pub with a couple of friends the other day, I had a conversation with one of them, and he was, like, basically saying that, like, he was just, like... White men are now the discriminated against group in society. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's the biggest, like, you. That's the most, like, inward-looking view. You've got to look at the fact that, like, our society isn't perfect. And, like, likewise, if you're going to, like, say, oh, well, I don't... You've got to bear in mind if you say, oh, well, I don't believe in gender and masculinity, that other people still don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but...
You know, I think the thing is, like... Once we stop considering the fact that once we start putting things into boxes, you know, male, female, within that come these stereotypes and come the toxicity of it. Like, do you think then that because people identify in certain ways, that actually is very damaging? Do you think people naturally want to identify? Because in terms of when we look through history about the kind of history of identity, as people develop identities, and because the idea of kind of sexual identity is only developed in the past kind of 200 years. When people look back and they say, like, oh, you know, the ancient Greeks, well, they were all gay, they were all this, you know, they were all bisexual, but they didn't have terms for that. It was just more natural for people to have sex with who they wanted. But there was also systems. And so when people use the example of ancient Greece, they failed to consider that there was actually a lot of manipulation of young men.
I'm not gonna lie, there's a lot of, like, quite clearly, like, paedophilic behavior in society.
If you look at Sparta, you would have a young Spartan boy who would be trained by his older Spartan mentor, and that relationship was also sexual.
Yeah.
As well as a kind of teacher-student relationship. When the student was old enough to train someone else, they would take part in a sexual relationship with the next person.
Yeah.
And it would pass along
Which
like that.
Which is actually,
that.
Again, like, I don't think, I think, also, I'm not going to lie, like, comparing, like, trying to model our society off an ancient society that didn't have internet, any kind of facilities we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of... travel, any of those things, is completely pointless because it's not the same society in any way, shape or form. It's similar to, like, we were looking in one of my art history modules, we're looking at like Renaissance women and the concept of I did a reading the other day, and basically the concept of when did women start to get genuinely pigeonholed into, and it's interesting because, like, we think of the medieval era, like the Greek era, as this, like, really backward, like, you know, we think of it as, like, they didn't have anything in that time, like post-Roman medieval era. Actually, women had probably, you know, a lot more power than they did in the Renaissance era. The Renaissance era was the time of the most development, and yet, because of that, women were right at the bottom of the pile and treated a lot worse and had a lot more constraints on them. In medieval times, women could own houses, you know, do everything they basically couldn't do after that point.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, there's no point, although I'd say there's no point looking at an old society and trying to model ourselves off it. You also can't, I don't think you should, I'm trying to think of the word, like, label a society by necessarily what it looks like from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to work at the way we we address these problems. Like, when you address the concept of masculinity, like you pointed out, it's men and women that think, that contribute. It's aimed at men. Everyone's like, oh, it's your fault that you have toxic masculinity. Mm. Actually, that's not going to work at all, because either that puts all the blame on one group, which is totally unfair. Mm-hmm. And secondly, like, it's not going to be at all productive, because I don't think I've ever heard of any group throughout history who has been accused of something that negative and then responded well to it, because why would a group want to change mm-hmm. after that? Do you know what I mean? I do think toxic masculinity is an issue. I don't, like, thing is though, what would you describe as toxic masculinity? Because some men are just masculine in the term. Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. they like enjoy that kind of thing, but like does it extend to like what people enjoy, or is it only the way they act?
I think it's a characteristic that forces people to do certain things that are negative, forcing people to enjoy certain things that they wouldn't normally like, and they end up not enjoying them, ending up with kind of violent culture.
Or rape culture.
Yeah. It all fits within that. So I think it's quite tough to fully define.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of extensive research gone further into it. But I think that we need to consider if we're going to tackle it, we need to consider what we can do.
Yeah. And rather, it's an open conversation as well, not an aggressive one. I think mm-hmm. the issue we have nowadays is it's a lot of like both ways.
We're just pointing at each other and we'll say
anger.
Like, you know, you're a toxic man, and it's like actually they feel, you know, forced.
Actually, they're human.
Yeah, they feel forced to act a certain way, and if you know, and it is a problem. I think definitely that a lot of women can tend to do. Is just say, like, oh, it's men. Oh, it's just men. You know, what are they like? Yeah, oh, the boys, exactly. They're difficult.
When really you should say, can we talk about
it? Yeah.
clearly you've got an issue.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it? And, like, I think there's there's definitely a lot of anger from the feminist community, and not the feminist community, women, because risky women have been treated, like, men have been on top for years. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that is going to be at all... That's not a productive thing. And also, like, men shouldn't categorise women as being angry all the time.
Because yeah.
Obviously, that's also a useless thing to do. But anyway, no. So here's another song. We'll be back after the break. And this is Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now.
Rows and flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. Looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and they snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way that you feel, as every fairy tale comes through. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. And you leave them laughing when you go. And if you can, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away.
I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions that I recall. I really don't know love. I really don't know love at all. Say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds. I've looked at life that way. Oh, but now, old friends, they're acting strange. And they shake their heads and they tell me that I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I look at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. I really don't know life. I really don't know life at all.
URN
University
Radio
Nottingham.
Don't speak it out. We're back. Sorry if you had any feedback. That was my fault. I'm really bad at this.
She's getting there.
Yeah, I'm getting there. All right, mummy. Sorry. Yeah, so welcome back to Feminottium. We are discussing masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just chatting. Well, actually, no. I wanted to say about that Joni Mitchell song.
Mm-hmm.
I chose that because I was kind of wanted to open a conversation about the concept of like weak women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do men from, not even men, where does society think women should be? Because I feel like women that don't show enough weakness, I'm realistically not the kind of girl that really, I don't cry very often.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a big cry, like I cry a bit, but I'm not really a big cry.
Like, I feel like we could have an arm wrestle right now and like, you know, it'd be fine. But like,
no. Go away. Anyway, no. So I think our, like, does society expect women to be like, where do women need to be on that? Like, where is the perfect place for women to be? Not as in it should be, but because I feel like women can't win. Because if you're not emotional enough, you're stone cold. I went to Prague last weekend, if anyone doesn't know,
mm-hmm.
With my pals. And we were in this bar, this drag queen bar. And there's this American guy who's about 35 trying to hit on all of us, which is obviously really creepy because I'm only 20 years old.
Yeah.
and he kept coming up to me and being like, oh, you're a bit of a hard and tough nutcracker. So all the rest of my friends were entertaining it. And I'm really bad at that. I'm really bad at talking to people when I know, when they creep me out.
Yeah.
I just shut down. Like, my friends, like, will go to bars and they'll flirt flirt with guys to get drinks, and I can't do that.
Yeah,
I just have to, like, I can't do it. I just have to buy myself a drink. Yeah. It makes me really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Like, either you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to put up with it.
I talk to people because I like them.
Yeah,
or I don't. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. It makes me really, really uncomfortable. And he was making me really uncomfortable, so I just wouldn't talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept, like, avoiding the conversation or going outside and stuff. Mm. And he kept being like, "You're a tough nut to crack." And I was like, "Why am I a tough nut to crack? You don't know me at all.
Yeah, you're
like,
not.
Why should you think that? Surely you should just assume. Like, why is it? Where is this persistence coming from?" And I feel like, so for example, if women don't show any emotion, don't show anything towards men, they're like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, this Joni Mitchell song, for example, like, women are considered to be, like, weak and soppy. Mm-hmm. Where are you? Where? How can women actually win? And is that a really, really bad... I feel like that's a really bad precept that we have on women, that they should actually adhere to these, like, rules of, like, in the terms of emotion.
Yeah.
How much emotion should people be showing?
There's, like, a full scale, because people, you know, refer to it to... if a woman's too strong, she's butch.
Yeah.
And if a woman's too weak, she's...
controlling.
Yeah, yeah. I think the word that I'm going to say that you will have heard before and will hate is the word bossy.
Oh, right? I got so much of that in school.
Yeah.
I'm not even... the thing is, you know why, though? It's funny, because in school I was quite bossy, really.
Yeah.
Not bossy, but...
should be allowed to be a bit bossy.
That's the thing.
Somebody should say to you, just like Ingrid, like...
kid,
like Ingrid just pipe down.
Like, and, like, I'm a lot less opinionated now, because in school I got so much... It was almost more from, like, my parents and, like, older people, to be fair. It wasn't like teachers and stuff. It wasn't really from my friends, because they obviously were my friends because they liked me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I get...
shocker.
And I feel like now I'm a lot less opinionated. Like, I almost have a bit of a wet wipe because I was so opinionated. But then I know so many guys that were incredibly... they'd say really outrageous stuff, like...
You
know,
and you just get away with it.
Just say, like, political stuff just to be controversial.
Yeah.
And people would be like, oh, it's funny. But if a girl said it, oh, God, no, she's completely wrong. She's immature and she's ignorant.
Yeah, I think... in terms of political debates, I find that there is definitely a huge issue of what women can and can't say.
I was saying, because literally the other day, the two guys, they were just trying to tell me about, like, something that I clearly knew more about.
About farming in Devon.
Farming in Devon, which I know a lot about, actually, because my uncle's a farmer, okay? My uncle's the most middle-class farmer you've ever met.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, why are you trying to tell me? Listen to me and learn something instead of trying to prove that you know more. Like, why is it about proving that you know more?
It's like competitivism, isn't it? Yeah. That's what... when I think about it, like, it just kind of came to me then. It's like, it's the competitive nature. It's, you know, I have to be better than them kind of thing. And that's just ridiculous. It like, is. If me and you... we're talking about, so if on this show we spent the whole time trying to be better than each other, we wouldn't get anywhere.
And I feel like guys I know, they do spend their whole show trying to be better than each other.
Mm-hmm. But what I think this pushes into, interestingly, is the idea of women trying to shut each other down. Because there is actually a huge problem with that. You were saying, you watched the documentary about Taylor Swift. We literally have like 1 minute left to go. You said the documentary that you were watching was about Taylor Swift, another woman who's been kind of shut down.
It was interesting. I was thinking about it, like, yeah, fair enough. Taylor Swift is a white female, hasn't clearly had as much adversity as a lot of artists out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought it was interesting how she was talking about it, and I was like, the amount of hate she gets, especially for things that aren't, like, relevant, like her body.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fair. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to cut it short.
Sorry to cut it short, but thank you for listening. Tune in next week, 12 till 1 for Femme Nottingham. We got some more exciting stuff next week. We got some guests on. And this is Taylor Swift, The Man. I'm sure everyone likes this song.
I would be complex. I would be cool. They'd say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. And that would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. I'd be a fearless leader. I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can. Wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. Of them coming at me again. 'Cause if I was a man.